Reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What does the kingdom of heaven mean to you? I've asked a few of you that question this week, and I threw it out on the church Facebook page, and thanks to those who have responded. We talk a lot about working for God's kingdom. We pray, "Your kingdom come." Particularly in the context of our new building, perhaps, we emphasise that we're not building our own kingdom, but we want to see this space used to further God's kingdom. But what does that mean? What is God's kingdom? What is the kingdom of heaven? Many of the answers which people gave me this week said something along the lines of, it's God's sphere of influence, The place where he is in charge. It's wherever God's will is done. Some picked up on the word heaven, which we tend to think of as the place that we go to when we die, and assumed perhaps that this was something yet to come, a future which we've not yet reached. But then Jesus on earth said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is near. I deliberately chose Matthew's preferred wording rather than kingdom of God, as used more often in Mark and Luke, because there is a sense in which the fullness of the kingdom of heaven is yet to come, that perfect new heavens and new earth, where God is clearly seen to be king and his word is perfectly done. But it is also here now. Anywhere where people acknowledge Jesus as king and live in that reality, the kingdom of heaven is seen, is at hand. And that is quite radical. A couple of the answers people gave picked up on the sense that this isn't just life continuing as normal, but with a different motivation and a different worldview. This is something much bigger than that. The kingdom of heaven quite literally turns things upside down. Over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of what that means. If the kingdom of heaven is seen as people acknowledge God as king and live by his authority, what does that look like in reality? What does that mean? We're going to consider that question through a series of parables which Jesus told that all begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Only the astute among you will have noticed that today's parable doesn't begin like that. The phrase "the kingdom of heaven" appears in Matthew 13, which we read today, in a block of teaching that is inserted between the parable of the sower and the explanation of that parable. But actually, the parable is a pictorial explanation of that teaching. Both parable and teaching are answering the same question. Why is it that some people understand and embrace the kingdom of heaven and others reject it? Jesus' teaching begins with a surprising phrase. He says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you." Secrets. Why is this secret? Surely, if Jesus wants people to embrace his kingdom and live by it, he should be declaring it from the rooftops in the clearest way possible, not hiding its message in parables and riddles. And that's been a real stumbling block for some when they've come to consider how Jesus is teaching and why he teaches in the way he does. And it becomes even more baffling when Jesus goes on at first glance perhaps to seemingly suggest that he speaks in parables deliberately to hide his message from some groups of people. Surely God wants all people to come and to hear and come to repentance. It doesn't seem fair to ask people to respond to a message which you've deliberately made it hard for them to understand. So what is going on here? Well, Jesus goes on to quote from Isaiah, a quote that makes it abundantly clear that the responsibility for not hearing the message of the kingdom lies firmly with the hearers, not the messenger. "Their hearts are hard, their hearing dulled, and they have closed their eyes. They do not hear the message because they do not wish to. They are not prepared to open themselves up to receive it." Isaiah and Jesus are quite clear. If they would open their eyes to see and their ears to hear, if they would stop closing themselves off to the possibility of the message of the kingdom, then they would understand it. They would respond to it. They would turn to God in Jesus, and he would gladly and willingly accept them, forgive them, and heal them. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. It's been given to the disciples, but not to the crowds more generally. But that's not because the disciples are somehow more spiritual or blessed with greater than normal insight. It's because they are the ones who don't just turn up to hear Jesus telling stories. They spend time with Jesus. They live with him. They follow him. They ask him what he means when he tells his parables. They're the ones who have realised that Jesus is someone worth listening to. That his words are more than just stories. That he is more than just another teacher. That what he says holds within it the key to the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And that is something that's worth finding out more about. The secrets of the kingdom are an open secret. Hidden from some, simply because they're not willing to do what is necessary to hear the message. But revealed to those who recognise the importance of what is being said here and look deeper into the meaning of what Jesus is saying. I'm going to move the camera a little because I'm aware that the sun is affecting the picture. Whoever has the faith and the openness to explore will be given more. As the meaning is explained to them by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, in the community of the church. And so they will end up with an abundance. The knowledge of the kingdom of heaven and all the blessings which come to those who inhabit that kingdom. But whoever does not have, whoever listens to the story but takes it no further, then even what they have is taken from them. Because even the parable that they've heard is worthless without understanding its meaning. So are you open to finding out more? Do you have your eyes open, your ears open, your heart open to understanding the kingdom of heaven? Or are you closed off to its possibilities? The parable, in the context of which Jesus gives this teaching, gives us examples of different responses. And to those who will listen, he then goes on to explain what they mean. We're going to look at them briefly now. There are those who hear, firstly, the message of the kingdom. But it's gone almost before they've heard it. We might say it goes in one ear and out the other. Jesus speaks of it being snatched away. This is the person who hears a talk about God's kingdom or has a conversation with a friend, but makes no effort to engage with what is being said on any more than a superficial level. Just lets it wash over them, and before they've even left the room, they've forgotten what was said. Is that you? Maybe this isn't the first time you've heard someone talk about Jesus. But could you tell anyone what was said on any previous occasion? Or has it just gone straight over you? Because if that's you, then your ears are closed off to the message. Then there are those who listen a bit more carefully and hear good things about the kingdom of heaven. They hear talk of forgiveness, of peace, of joy, of eternal life. And this sounds great, so they think, I want some of that. But they don't listen any deeper. to hear more detail of what is involved in following Jesus, of the need to count a cost. That, as we thought a couple of weeks ago, there is effort involved in the Christian life. Sometimes, sadly, people have even heard a twisted message of the kingdom of heaven that tells them that if they accept Jesus, then it will all be blessing, everything will go well for them, they'll have no troubles, life will just be rosy. Sometimes people have heard a more full, honest explanation of what the kingdom life is like, but they haven't listened to all the details, haven't asked the questions, and have come away with a rose-tinted view. And so when it turns out to be difficult, they have to make sacrifices, they struggle with temptation, they decide this wasn't all it was cracked up to be anyway, and they move on. You come across such people from time to time, or at least I do, I assume others do too, who will tell you they used to be a Christian, might tell you when and where they were baptised, but they don't really believe it all now. Such a person has heard and seen to an extent, but there has been no true understanding, no roots, and so they have fallen away. Others hear and understand a little more, but then the weeds begin to come. And they choke off the plant that is growing. They crowd out the lights. They make it unfruitful. I suspect there may be a few watching this who this describes you. Because perhaps all of us who are Christians have had times when it's been like this. Because I think the person in this group, and we sometimes read this parable traditionally as the only good outcome is the last one. The only person who's actually a Christian is the final outcome, the fruitful crop. But actually, I think this seed among the weeds, this is someone who still identifies as Christian. They would say they have faith. And they do have faith. It's not just something they say. Perhaps they don't get to church as often as they'd like because they're busy with the kids or with work, or the rest of the family don't want to come, so it's hard. They feel they can't take themselves away from the family every week. Maybe this person is in church every Sunday even, but it's more because they feel they should be, because they don't want to lose face in the community. But it's an effort. Their mind is really elsewhere. They're not quite sure what they believe. I suspect there's perhaps more of us like that at the moment, after the troubles and worries of the last year, the weeds that have choked, our spiritual lives not feeling as fruitful as they once did. But also, let's not pretend that it's all about COVID. I suspect many of us spend more time in the weeds than we'd like to admit. Maybe that's where you are right now. You've heard of the kingdom of God, you've understood something of what it means, or at least what it's supposed to mean. You can see people around you who seem to be living it, but somehow it never quite seems to come together for you. The life and joy and peace which others have isn't your experience. Maybe it felt like it was once, but it's not now. There's no growth. There's no fruit. If that's you, may I encourage you to keep your eyes open. Resist the temptation to become hard in your heart, to say, well, this obviously isn't for me. Certainly resist any thoughts that there is something inherently about you that means that you can't believe, you can't experience what others do. That there's something about you that means that God won't reveal himself to you. Perhaps if you're in this group, you're actually the primary audience for this sermon series. As we explore more of what the kingdom of heaven means, I pray that you will catch that vision, that things will open up for you, that there will be new understanding, new light, new life. Please keep your eyes and ears open to what God will say to you by His Spirit. Because the aim for you, as for all of us, is that you can become like the seed that falls on good soil. The person who hears and understands, who grasps the secrets of the kingdom of God, who sees that they are good, so good that they are worth the troubles and the persecution. The person who lives in them, who bears fruit in them, and who produces such an abundance of crop, a hundredfold crop is ridiculous, it's off the scale. This person that we should all be seeking to become, the one whose eyes and ears and heart is fully open to all that God has for us, knowing the fullness of the healing power of Jesus, the power which can turn a small, insignificant seed into a crop yielding a most abundant harvest. That's the goal of the kingdom of heaven, a place of transformation, of healing, and of abundance. As we look more over the next few weeks at what the kingdom of heaven is like, at what it means to live as one who is living under God's authority and according to His rule, I encourage you to keep your eyes and ears open. The very fact that you're listening to this talk and will hopefully listen to others in the series is a good start. Not because I have anything particularly special to say, but because you'll be hearing these parables and what they mean. But as we read the parables, the stories which give us a picture of the kingdom of heaven, don't just stop at the story. Be open to hearing the meaning, what this is telling us about God, about His kingdom now and in the age to come. Ask the questions, dig deep, listen to the whole story. Know that Jesus wants you to hear. His desire is that you will see and understand and turn to Him. He wants more than anything that as you hear about the kingdom life, you will want to live that for yourself. That you will submit yourself to His authority as King and live under His lordship. And know that as you do so, He will willingly reach out arms of love to heal you, to bring you fullness, to work in your life to make you fruitful for Him. As you listen, know too that there is always more to hear. We can never fully understand the kingdom of God, but make sure you haven't heard half a message. That you aren't at risk of falling away because you haven't understood the cost as well as the blessings of the kingdom. That you aren't at risk of being choked because you haven't fully understood that the more you open your eyes and your heart to Jesus, the more fruitful He will enable you to become. Know that if you will not listen, if you close your eyes, stop up your ears and allow your heart to become hard, then even what you have will be taken away from you. Jesus will not force Himself upon you. Do not be one who has the privilege of seeing and hearing about the kingdom, but refuses to listen. and so misses out on the healing power of Jesus in your life and the wonder of life in the kingdom of heaven. I pray that we might all have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and that as we do, God will add to what we already have. Deeper love, greater understanding, an abundance of fruitfulness, the life of the kingdom of heaven, lived now on earth, and in the age to come, lived in all its fullness in the new heavens and the new earth, where all will see and know that Jesus is King, and we will live under his perfect reign for all eternity. Let's just pause for a moment. Perhaps reflect on that parable. What is your response to the message of the kingdom of heaven? Are you listening? Are your eyes open to what Jesus is saying by his Spirit? Lord, we thank you that your desire is that we should hear and understand the message of the kingdom. Lord, by your Spirit, speak to us today and over these coming weeks, that we might understand more fully and live in greater reality the kingdom life to which you have called us. If there are any who right now, Lord, need to come to you and admit that their eyes have been closed, that they have not been listening, but that they have heard today the call to come to you in faith, Lord, give them the boldness and the encouragement to make that step. And for those of us, Lord, who have been following Jesus for years, open us to what you might have to say to us and the ways that you want to work in us to make us more fruitful for your kingdom. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Well-known words of John Newton. In our closing song this morning, we sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.